You are Locked On Nets, your daily Brooklyn Nets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, everybody, it is the Locked On Nets podcast, and this is a breaking news edition live on YouTube. You can hear it on the podcast feed later. I'm Adam Marmbrecht. He's Doug Norrie. No need to even bother with any of the pleasantries. Breaking earlier today, Sham Sharania reporting on Twitter, Brooklyn Nets all-star Kyrie Irving has requested a trade, league sources tell The Athletic. The franchise has been informed that Irving prefers to move on ahead of the February 9th trade deadline, or will leave via free agency in July. We can obviously start talking about the tea leaves that maybe we could have seen something like this coming potentially, Doug, but not you can't be surprised, can you? I mean, not really. In your heart of hearts, this can't be surprising.
I mean, we're just on a big blue orb hurtling through space, and we all root for laundry. I mean, that's what that's that. In the end, that's all it is.
You're a Nets fan now.
We're just a tiny speck in the solar system, and in the end, it's just a piece of laundry that hangs on the players' backs. Look, is this surprising? No, it's not surprising at all. We had years of this. I'm surprised in that, you know, when you're sitting on the couch on a Friday afternoon like I was, and you have Shams on notifications, because that's just what you have to do in the basketball world, and that's what comes through. You're like, oh, better call Adam.
You weren't driving like I was. It was a borderline disaster as I tried to careen my way back to the studio.
Yeah, look, this is just what happens in sports. It's objectively hilarious on one level. It's a huge bummer on another. Like, this is just the Nets season. You think you're staring at it in one thing. I think there's lots going on here. I don't think it's as simple as just he wants to trade. I think this has been in some ways hurtling toward this eventuality, even though we didn't kind of talk about it in these terms. It's once you get the news and then look back at everything, it doesn't seem that it's not all that surprising. I mean, and Kyrie, I probably should have. I do read Kyrie's tweets every day, and I got to be honest with you,
they kind of just
go, I just, like, my eyes glaze over them, because they just are what they are.
Yeah.
But, you know, as, like, you know, on February 1st, it was chop wood, carry water. That was a tweet. But so today, when
there was a tweet on my back,
when there was a tweet that came out, it says, to my peers, : just be yourself and grow. Keep people around you who celebrate you unconditionally and appreciate all the hard work that gets put in. And here's the important part: distance yourself from the folks who manipulate, hate, and hurt. And then he signs it off with the Gila. That wasn't anything I thought of at the time. And then a few hours later, when Shams puts out that he wants a trade, I'm like, oh, he's going to ask. I could have looked at that easily and said, he's going to ask for a trade. He wants out of here. But, you know, and that's just where we are. And so I think there's a million different ways to look at this and decide which way we think things are going to go. This has been news for 10 minutes, right? So, but yeah, this rocks the Brooklyn Nets world probably to its core. I mean, it probably changes the trajectory of the franchise. And I thought that when the Durant, you know, requested the trade, that ended up being kind of wrong, but I don't know. Here we are.
Yeah, it's interesting. So the other one, I think, when you talk about reading the tea leaves, a tweet like that in the morning from Kyrie, listen, sometimes you can read a lot of his tweets and try to dissect what it means. But remember, it was just last week where he said at the podium, wants to be in Brooklyn, wants it to make it his home, and therefore the ball is now in Brooklyn's court as far as the extension ahead of the offseason where he would become a free agent. And if you can look at that one of two ways. Things were going good, right? Had the suspension at the start of the year. After that, he's just been there playing, been committed, all that good stuff. Kevin Durant out the injury right now. And you could say, hey, behind the scenes, things are going well. And this is just, maybe he's just making this public comment as, we've been having discussions in good faith and we're going to get there. And I want to be here. I want to be a part of the Nets organization. Or you can read it as, hey, I checked the box, man. This is 3 months of me showing that I'm in here. And if you're unwilling to commit to me, then it actually turns out I may have a longer term issue with wanting to be a part of this. I'm just going to say that, like, in this spectrum of Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant, back to the James Harden, we can throw Ben Simmons into this too. The organization has obviously been chaos. And I don't mean chaotically run in totality. It's just been chaos around this organization. And in some ways, you could name anybody. It could be Kevin Durant that requested the trade again right now. I would say, fine. Let's do what we have to do to make this thing that we watch, discuss, and root for something different, because this feels violently familiar to the journey we've been on since they signed Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant.
Yeah, this is why I'm not surprised. Like, we trained for this, you know. Like, we are, like, we've been down the road so many times. Like, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Like, we've gotten so many reps on the chaos around the player. It's not even movement, but just the player issues on this team for years now, that when something like this happens, it's like, I don't know. I feel pretty callous to it. In the sense that, like, again, this is sports, and it's like, you know, in the grand scheme of things, what are we really talking about? But on a Nets level, I'm not. This is why I said at the beginning, I'm not surprised even in the slightest, because there has, like you said, just been an enormous amount of uncertainty, chaos, you know, just wishy-washiness, just you know, figuring out where commitments lie, figuring out what the overall plan for the organization is. Like, this is years of this now. And so Kyrie wanting out, look, you didn't get a contract. You're obviously disagreeing on terms. I can't fault the guy for wanting to find a situation that's right for him. He signed a contract. He's almost at the end of that contract. In some ways, I actually view this differently than Durant's situation, because that was like, had recently signed a contract, was committed to years. Like, Kyrie's at the end of this thing. They're not seeing eye to eye. He owes the Nets nothing, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he doesn't have to resign. And so, and he can figure out whatever he wants to do and find an organization that wants to pay him. So on that sense, I'm just like, yeah, okay, that makes sense. And there's a world where, you know, this happening now, prior to the deadline, we already know that the Nets losing Kyrie for nothing is actually bad, because they can't replace the money and stuff one for one. Getting possibly out ahead of it now and bringing something back could be the better of all worlds if he was just going to leave anyway, right? Like, in the offseason, you don't get to play it out. You don't get to see Kyrie. Excuse me. You don't get to see Kyrie. You don't get to figure out maybe what this version of the Nets could have become. Like, that's really sucks. But if I'm trying to go glass half full, it's like, okay, maybe the timing works out prior to the trade deadline. I don't know. I mean, we're going to talk about all the different ways this could go, but I think there's multiple ways to look at this. And I do not think this is comparable to the Durant situation in some ways.
No. It was a very good reminder to point out that he had already signed Kevin Durant the extension and then came to the table with the trade request. This is superstar talent in the league. You want to have security. Like, there's an element to it from Kyrie's standpoint that you can understand. We had kind of, I remember having the discussion, and we didn't go too deep into it because there was plenty to talk about. The team, the chemistry, the new players, everything that's been going on this season. A lot of it was around Ben Simmons. But there was a time when we briefly discussed on the podcast where I said, if you don't think that this is a championship-level team, then the trade deadline and what goes on with Kyrie Irving actually does become very significant. And I think the way Ben Simmons has performed, this is organizationally now, with the way Ben Simmons has performed, the injury with Kevin Durant, whatever discussions you were having with Kyrie, this might end up being the best for everyone, because you don't know what it's going to look like over the back end of this season into the playoffs. And if you're Kyrie Irving, you ultimately want to get someplace that maybe not only security long-term, but also competing in the short-term. So if we look at it from that standpoint, let's go back to that old beautiful place that we call the City of Angels, Los Angeles, where once upon a time, the Russell Westbrook, Kyrie Irving, when it seemed like maybe Kevin Durant was going to have that trade request fulfilled and then you want to start moving pieces, do you think that that becomes maybe one of the most likely opportunities for the Brooklyn Nets to move Kyrie, to get back a player and a high contract that'll be off the books at the end of the year, and probably some draft capital along with it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is such a weird spot, because I actually do really wonder about how the rest of the league views this, because here's the thing. I want to talk about the Lakers, because that's clearly, that's like the operative team that we have to talk about. But just right before that, though, I want to go back to something that we talked about. I think it was even yesterday with Durant. This stuff moves so fast. Just because you request a trade doesn't mean you get traded, right? Like, there are pieces of this where I actually don't think it's 100% certain he'd even get traded. There's a week to go. And I actually do wonder on some level, like, what the rest of the NBA thinks about his situation, right? Because, and how he's going into a contract. We know he's mercurial, you know, and on, like, maybe, you know, in the best version of it. So I do wonder actually what if the Nets would actually, like stare this one down. Now this is different than Durant because they had him under contract for a long time. Like, and they were like, hey, we got you for 3 years. Like we'll figure this out.
Harden.
Like,
this is James Harden. Yeah. That's what this is. It's James.
Yeah. That's a better comp. Yeah. Yes. We're doing this live. So I'm thinking on the fly here.
No, but, so am I. Okay. It's only because you're talking that I'm
so, okay.
That
so
I'm
I do stand by, the part where I wonder how the rest of the league sees him in terms of value. It's almost definitely just a rental unless you like come to some kind of handshake agreement prior about an extension or, you know, on the current contract. There's a chance where, you know, he wouldn't be on your team going forward. You know, sometimes agents can work out this stuff ahead of time with other teams. Is like, hey, if we got traded to you, it's re-signing time, right? Like, and you can kind of back channel enough to sort of know that you're walking into everyone's walking into a safe place, in terms of money. I mean, Kyrie is represented by, I believe his stepmother. I'm not sure like how connected that is. Like, I don't know if that's like as connected as some of these other agents are. Like, I just don't know how that works. So I think I do wonder about how the rest of the league views this. Usually in situations like this, you kind of know what it looks like out there in the landscape about what would be offered in terms of talking to other teams. Like, hey, would you make an offer? What would this look like? Things like that. After that, with the Lakers, it does seem logical. I wonder if the Lakers would view that as a huge risk too, because if they're sending off these picks, like it seems they've been very disinclined to send these picks out, it seems, for other players, right? Like, because this is the sort of the last of their assets. Like, they have these two future picks. They basically have nothing else on the books. You have to attach Russ. You have to attach the picks to Russ to make the money work. There's a lot going on here. I'm not fully convinced he gets traded. That does seem, at least to start, the most logical landing spot, just because like all the other stuff that's wrapped into it. But I'm just going on and on. But
it's fair. And by the way, if you're in on that, we may take a break just from the update and our thoughts on it, and look into the comments and see where the fan base is right now. I was already seeing some things when we were getting started about being on two sides of how you feel about the request and whether or not it's the right, wrong, justified, not justified thing from Kyrie Irving. But,
oh, can I just say one thing about that? Sure. You can do whatever you want. Like, yeah, request anything you want. Like, he's running out of a contract. They didn't agree. He kind of signaled this. I've been frustrated with Kyrie Irving, like sort of other stuff in the past, right? Like, it's, and we defended him a ton too. Like, I think that like we've been the full spectrum on Kyrie. This does not annoy me as like a fan. Right. I think this is just sort of what happens. I think you feel differently. Maybe. I don't know.
Well, So the one thing would be when it comes to the trade potentially and where the market is for him, I think what I will be curious to see is what are the Nets saying? Like, again, not the same situation, but when Kevin Durant requested it, they went to Kevin Durant and said, hey, listen, if we can find a suitor, yes, we'll do it. But guess what? You're too good. That's the problem here. I think the organization will view this differently for the reasons we said. In his contract year, could walk in free agency, have had, I'm labeling it as issues, and I'm not putting that on one side or the other, but there's been a lot of things, a lot of situations between Kyrie Irving and the organization. So I do wonder what is the floor of what the Nets are going to be willing to discuss from other teams. Because that'll also indicate, to your point, if someone's saying it's going to be a rental, but the request is, and I'm saying this off the cuff, it's a first rounder and a couple of players. Like, if it was that low, well, guess what? That's a rental that a lot of teams would probably be interested in for Kyrie Irving for the back half of the season in a playoff run. If the Nets say we want 3-4 first round picks, I don't think that that's ever going to happen. And then Kyrie has to play out the remainder of this season. My concern in that regard is, unlike maybe like Kevin Durant, and I could be wrong on this, I think that Kyrie Irving, now having made the request, doesn't want to be a part of this organization anymore. Right.
That's clear. Yeah.
Right. So whether it's this offseason or it's at the trade deadline, he doesn't want to be here anymore. I do view him differently than I do Kevin Durant, who made the request. But once it came back around and the season started, that's it. I'm here. I'm under contract. I'm coming to play. I do view that I view these players a little bit differently in terms of their personalities and what could end up being. Well, if you're not going to trade me, then, and we've already seen this before, and it was about something, it was an outside influence that affected him with the city mandate. But he ended up losing money financially over the course of a season for missing time. He might do that again over the back half of this season. So now you could be facing having a team that doesn't have Kyrie Irving no matter what you do, trade him or not trade him. And at that point, I think organizationally they have to consider what is the best possible outcome for a potentially bad situation right now. My personal opinion on Kyrie would just be, I love him as a basketball player. I respect that he has his own opinions and perspectives about what he wants to do personally. I don't judge him for any of that stuff. However, I can make the case that the organization has done a pretty good job of trying to stay community, you know, trying to keep with him, trying to ride out some of the difficult stuff, including things that nobody had control over. And it would feel like this is Kyrie Irving not necessarily saying, hey, man, we're back on good footing, and I'm going to put faith in you that I'll get rewarded this offseason with a contract. I think we talked about this very early in the offseason when the Kevin Durant stuff was still happening, where I said, hey, play this season out, show that you're back in, you want to be a part of this, great, and we're going to reward you because we have Kevin Durant, and this makes the most sense. It's our best chance to win. And Kyrie Irving not being willing to get through this season, that is a little frustrating. Like, just from a fan, purely fan perspective, it's frustrating to have a guy who says, like, hey, if I'm not getting paid today, then I'm not here to play tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. From a fan perspective, this really sucks. It sucks because it submarines the Nets' title hopes. If you were holding on to those pieces as, like, a title team, because once if they could realize the best version of themselves, for sure, that ends this discussion pretty much right now. Like, I think, like, you'd have to, like, take them. They're not going to be title contenders. I don't think they'll ever get – they're never going to get Kyrie Irving's talent level back for sure. Like, and so I don't think – go ahead.
No, here's one other thing that I thought was interesting too about this, because you just mentioned about title contenders and saying, you know, never, you said earlier, never getting to fully see what this team could have been.
Correct.
We did, but we did. Like, this is what this is. Like, this is what it looks like.
Oh, I see.
To sign Kyrie Irving and to get Kevin Durant and then to swing with James Harden and then to get Ben Simmons. Like, it's been enough. It's been enough years. And this, by the way, it includes the organization. It includes Sean Marks. It includes Josiah. This is what this version of the Brooklyn Nets, this is it. It's a dysfunctional operation that sometimes makes it into the playoffs, maybe wins a playoff series, maybe gets swept. And there's a lot of factors, injuries and otherwise, that seemingly are always going to be a part of what goes on when you have this collection of players. So in that sense, now that the request has been made, I do look at it as, hey, let's take this as an opportunity to come up for air from what has been a mess over these last handful of seasons. And by the way, best for everybody. Let's get Kyrie somewhere where he can win a championship. Maybe it's LA. Let's give ourselves some breathing room. And that does take me to the next. Okay, here's the most important things. Does Kyrie Irving's trade request impact Kevin Durant? That's the first biggest question here. Is this a direct one-to-one at all? It seemed like these guys were separated in terms of accomplishing their personal goals versus being committed to always playing together. So I don't think that this request means that now wait another 24 hours and Kevin Durant makes the request. Not going to rule it out, but there's that question. And then there's the organization question now of, if you can move Kyrie, does it behoove you to try to take pennies on the dollar for a Ben Simmons? Because now you are into, how do we clear as much money off the books so we actually have financial freedom when it comes to the offseason if we can hold on to Kevin Durant?
Yeah, this is going to be what we talk about almost exclusively here for the next week. In trying to synthesize it in the moment, there are so many different moving parts here that it is a little tough. By the way, for everyone in YouTube right now, so many people on YouTube, go and hit subscribe over on YouTube. Take one second. I know people are just flying through the chat, like they're absolutely burning a hole in their keyboards in this chat room right now, which I really appreciate. Take 1 second and hit subscribe to Locked On Nets YouTube. It's World right there. It's very super free. And it's the easiest way you can help us. So that's do that right now. Yeah, I think that there's so much to synthesize here around what's actually happening with this team that I actually think in some ways a week might not be enough to do it. Right. Like there's not, and these guys can work hard and you can figure out, you remember it takes other teams to sort of realize this stuff too, right? Like I already think that the list of suitors, even in the best of worlds for Kyrie, is probably actually pretty short here. Like, I don't think there's a ton of teams that could talk themselves into it. When it comes to Simmons, I think that list is also short and the value's low. I mean, he's already been ruled out of Saturday's game for knee soreness. So like he's hurt going into trade deadline, which is the worst possible situation. If you're trying to trade somebody, like to have them not playing, we saw this happen with Miles Turner last year. Like if the guy's hurt, and it's at the trade deadline, like, what can you do, really? Your trade teams are going to be really reticent to trade for a hurt player in the best of worlds. And yeah. Kai, and I think we can agree that the Simmons situation is far from the best world that you're going with him. So I think the Nets are in a really peculiar spot where trying to evaluate all the moving pieces that they have on this team right now, I think what's very clear from this situation and this, you know, undoes the last two episodes that we've done about the trade deadline and thinking about the pieces. I think what it does in the short term is that makes you at least minimum as a team reevaluate your championship pedigree and yeah. therefore reevaluate sending off future assets at the trade deadline. I think that's fully off the table.
Oh yeah. Right. Yeah, like, that's a really good point to bring up.
I think that, like, I think the part where we were, you know, going back and forth and the Gary Trents and Josh Harts of the world about whether they were needle movers. And again, like, podcast and life comes at you fast, man.
But do go Shams enjoy that episode. It was yesterday.
Shams
show.
Has another update, episode. Which I'm going to read here. And Shams just came through with another update. So I'll read this in a second. But I think at least the part where you are thinking about sending off those future picks, of which they don't have too many, I think, like, you can if you're Sean Marks now, you can really sleep fine at night knowing that you're not sending these off, right? Like, you're not going to be a championship contender. If that's going to be the case, you cannot mortgage any more future, any future assets, any future pieces, just because you're not in that place. So I think from that standpoint, it makes things pretty easy. They, I'll read the Shams thing. It says Nets recently offered Kyrie Irving an extension with guarantee stipulation. Sources tell Shams. Sources said the offer, which was declined, was not well received. So just
and when we talked about it in the offseason, because we talked about extension back then and saying we wouldn't be surprised if it was a both and, right, years with some things on there, guaranteed games played, etc. I can understand why you don't like it if you're the player, if you're Kyrie Irving, and I can totally understand why the Brooklyn Nets would want those things to be in place.
Yeah, I don't, you know, there's not a lot of other contracts out there that have these guaranteed, you know, markers that they have to hit and stuff. I know why a player would not want to sign those things. I get it. From a union and labor strictly perspective, like, you really need to be hard pressed to sign into those things because there's too many things that can come up that can be problematic when it comes to getting paid. So I totally understand why a player would not want to sign contracts with a bunch of other asterisks on it around, like, playing time and stuff like that, because I don't know, life is weird. At the same time, I understand why the Nets might want to lock in some floor on the playing time, because the dude hasn't played a lot. So I get sort of both sides with that. And I can see why they wouldn't like be on the same page. I suspect other teams are going to have the same sort of questions around signing him for a long term. I don't think that's a Nets exclusive thing. Like, I don't think that only the Nets are going to be in the, you know, head scratching part of, like, how much can we trust this situation if we sign you? So I do suspect from a negotiation standpoint, Kyrie runs into something similar later on down the line as a free agent. I mean, clearly he'll get offers. I think that's, the talent is just, you know, unquestionable. So I think that there's going to be offers. How fruitful those offers are, if they have the same sort of want some of the same downside language into it, I wouldn't be shocked. But I think from the Nets trade standpoint, like I said, I think we can very much agree that no first rounders are going out here now, probably, right? Like, no future first.
Oh, in terms of, Nets making other moves.
Yeah. I'm rewinding pre-Shams thing. So I think that we can pretty much agree on. I would say that, like, if I'm looking really fast at the teams, let's just do this.
I have a couple experiment.
Okay. So go ahead. I have a list of basically, and the list is really short, like, teams that would even consider it, right? Like, let's just start there. Like, forget if they have the pieces to send back.
Forget if they
are able to agree on compensation. How many teams would even consider this trade right now? He's a free agent. He's, how old is Kyrie? 33?
30.
I should know this off the top of my head.
Yeah. I think he's a little bit younger. I'll pull that up.
30, my bad. Okay, yeah. Okay, 30 years old. We know some of the past stuff. He's going into a contract year. What teams do you think would even consider this trade? Like, because some teams won't even pick up the phone, right? Like, because they're not sending, they either don't have the contracts to match, and they're never sending out a future asset for it, right? Like, so I think we can lop off. Go ahead. Yeah.
So let's look in I'm going to start by looking in the Western Conference, where, you know, just staying out of the Eastern Conference, et cetera. Okay. We already said the Lakers. I believe the Clippers are in the camp of a team that would definitely make this move. Because you can afford to keep Kawhi and PG and send back players and whatever.
And they have some contracts that kind of match up. I agree with the Clippers. So we got Lakers, Clippers.
I have mentioned this previously in these discussions. I wouldn't take the Dallas Mavericks entirely out of it. A Spencer Dinwiddie, they want to get off Christian Wood. There's something maybe there. That doesn't have to be ironclad. And maybe it's funny, a team you never would have thought of, but maybe the Kings, because they're having an oddly successful season and they actually could make a bit of a statement in the Western Conference this year if they added a talent like that. I'll stop there and see if you had other ones.
Okay, I disagree with the Kings because they have Fox, and I just don't think that, and I think it'd be weird to kind of blow that team up, and that's not a match. I'm going to take the Kings off. I agree with you on the Lakers. I agree with you on the Clippers. I think like the Suns are interesting with Chris Paul. Like Chris Paul kind of headed toward the pasture here. Like they are looking to reset the franchise. They have a new owner. I think it's unlikely, but I will put them at least on the, it's not completely out of the realm of possibilities. Let me just go through. Actually, it might be easier actually going through the Western Conference and just telling you the teams that would have no interest, right?
Yeah.
Nuggets, no. Grizzlies, no. Kings, maybe. You think yes, I think no. It doesn't. I mean, let's just call that a maybe. Dallas, maybe. Clippers, I think they would. Timberwolves, no. Although D'Angelo Russell for Kyrie, if you want to do something, but that one gets weird, and they're out of a ton of draft picks. If they think they can just swap things around, we'll put them on the maybes. I don't know. Suns, maybe. Jazz, no. Warriors, no. Pelicans, no. Blazers, no. And then the bottom of the group, definitely not. Thunder, Spurs, and Rockets. So, And I will be honest with you, even with these like maybes, you have to tell yourself a real story. Like
by the way, yeah, when we say maybe, that's like 70.
Maybe's like a no. Maybe's like a no, but I want to have more than one team.
But so that means though, effectively we would say two legitimate, maybe three legitimate Western Conference teams. That would be yeses. I'm saying, I don't want to use the word maybe. So let's put three yeses there. Lakers, the Clippers, and we'll say one of those other, the Suns, the Mavericks, one other team would be interested. And then a couple of most likely no, but maybes. So we are saying we have two or three teams interested in the Western Conference. Just quickly, let's look over at the East. Let's say the Nets were willing to do that dance. And let's start with the no's, because that makes way more sense as well. No Boston, no Milwaukee, no Philadelphia, no to Cleveland, Miami. I'm asking the question out loud.
That's a maybe for me. Yeah. That one's interesting. Like you get off the Lowry contract, like they send something else back. That team is more geared toward like winning now. Maybe they think they can do something with Kyrie and Heat culture. It's like, it'd be weird to think of Kyrie on the Heat, like from that standpoint, but I don't know if I'm telling myself a story, maybe I can make something up.
I think the Knicks would do it. I don't know. You know, the Nets.
Oh, I was going to say definitely no on the Knicks, but okay.
Really?
Yeah.
Cause I find like, I just think that like the Knicks are a team that like, this is another year where they've just been, you know, mediocre, not really doing anything and haven't moved the needle, even though getting Brunson helped you. He's obviously not a superstar. No to the Hawks. They obviously just brought in the new backcourt. Wizards. No. I would, you know, no to Bulls, Pacers. Nobody. I mean, really. And by the way, a team that's like looking bad and looking to shed some players in the Toronto Raptors. That's a team culture wise that I don't think would ever bring in a player like Kyrie Irving. So Eastern Conference, I think, is far thinner than the Western Conference in terms of teams that would come around for it, mostly because the teams that are in contention in the East are teams that are well-built and don't really have significant question marks. That's what I think is interesting about the West, is that it's muddled, it's kind of wide open, and if you add Kyrie, you could take yourself from being the fourth to the first seed in the blink of an eye.
Yeah, I think they're just looking
I can't show one of the comments in the chat. I'll let you read it, though. It's there. Ethan is on the side there. Just read his.
Oh, yeah, I saw that one.
It's a good one.
I'll stop. Yeah. I'm not downtrodden like Ethan. It's okay, buddy. It's all right. We're going to be all right. We're going to get through this. We're going to get through this one together. We're going to lock in as a team. I think just going through the list as a thought experiment is interesting in thinking about how, like, what might not happen, right? Again, like, I think that the Nets would be hard. Like, okay, so here's what the Nets aren't going to do. The Nets are not going to attach any of their current assets to get off the contract, right? So, like, they're going to want to bring something back in or just look to assign and trade in the offseason, right? Like, I think they'd be fine standing pat here. Like, I think there's a world where this doesn't happen, or like they call the bluff here and they actually do agree on an extension, this could be a look. They've already called the bluff on one trade. Like they have it in there. They can have a staring contest with players like that. They've proven that one, at least they didn't with Harden. Kind of wish they had a little bit, but they didn't. they definitely did with Durant. I think that this is not an organization, for better or worse, that gets is flappable in these situations. I think they actually will like just stay the course about whatever they think is the best thing. And I think there is a world where they're like, hey, nothing came. We're not just trading you for like two random players and nothing. Like, you're under contract here. We were fifth in, you know, championship odds a week ago or whatever. Like, I think that there is a world where this goes through Thursday and nothing happens. I do think, like, in the difference of, you know, you mentioned this was the Harden situation. I actually think this is a little different than the Harden situation, because the Harden situation was, I think they still thought there was like a chance of the playoffs here. I think they still thought there was like a future that was going to be kind of like they could shape it around the KD and Kyrie thing, right? I think losing Kyrie now changes some of those future plans around KD. I think it's going to be much harder to tell yourself a championship story now. So I actually think that I don't know if it's panic, but like the part where with Harden last year was like, hey, they got to get him out of here. Going to lose him for nothing. Like they're going to, and they, this team still have Kyrie. Win. This you team still can still two. Win. They still had those two other guys. Like they still had the two other guys. And if you're like, hey, we get Simmons in and he's actually healthy, we can win a championship. Again, sort of like not sending the draft picks out. You can no longer tell yourself that story. So therefore, I actually don't think it's the same sort of panic move. Now, they're going to lose them, and there's a chance they lose them for nothing here, and that is a problem. But I don't know. Like, the sign-and-trade aspect of it is interesting to me.
I do think that's very much a reality, too, because the sign-and-trade is the way that Kyrie gets the most money because he's on the current team and then gets sent out, as opposed to going directly to free agency. There are ways that it would still benefit Kyrie and the Brooklyn Nets in the offseason to do this. It's just, I personally, it's like, you know, the Band-Aid is mostly off. Finish ripping the thing off here, because, you know, playing this thing out, who knows what is it going to look like then? Like, what's it going to look like in the offseason? And if you could paint a picture where it looks better from a Brooklyn Nets perspective in the offseason, then I can wrap my head around it. But I honestly don't think that it does. And there's not a guarantee that it becomes a sign and trade in the offseason. That's just a possibility. Kyrie Irving could very much choose to go out and handle it himself and, you know, go where he wants to go for whatever the contract may be. So that's a real problem for the Nets. I agree with you that it is different from the Harden one from an organization standpoint, championship aspirations. It's different because the other guy you have there. And by the way, with Ben Simmons, it's also a problem, right? Because with Ben Simmons, here's the other thing. If Ben Simmons looked like 80% of the player that he is at his best, then you'd also feel differently about this, because you could tell yourself a different story about Kevin Durant, Ben Simmons, and some other players and making some additional moves. So that's, I think, a big factor in this too, is like, it's also, we were ruminating on, would the Nets, if they could try to move off of Ben Simmons, maybe, because it's another $30+ million contract on your books for multiple seasons. So yeah, I think it does get late early. If this Kyrie trade goes through, I don't think Durant would necessarily go immediately, but I would, again, wouldn't be shocked if in the offseason they start to revisit it. And we talked about this, I don't know what it was around when we were having these discussions, but you had set the line. It was, you know, hey, the Nets could be staring down irrelevancy for 4 or 5 years if things really go off the rails. And this is one half of the train is up off the rail, and potentially you could end up saying, like, we may be blowing this thing up very quickly. I think their saving grace that you mentioned earlier is there's not a ton of time before the deadline. It's hard for teams to scramble and sort these things out in 4 days.
Yeah, it was just, don't worry, buddy. I was scrambling right now trying to put a trade package together.
Well, I can tell you right now, like, because the one thing I want to ask you, well, I just hit these couple because I mentioned these couple of teams. So I'll say the Dallas Mavericks one, just to let you know that the money works. Spencer Dinwiddie, Christian Wood, those guys combined for $34 million. You could think about picks or whatever. Boom, you bring back a guy, obviously been with the organization. You don't love Christian Wood, but it's only a one-year deal. And you clear that money away, only one more year on Spencer Dinwiddie, and you know that he can come in and play point guard, and he can be a scorer for you. He could actually be effective alongside Kevin Durant. The other one, we talked about the Clippers. Now, I threw in different names in here, but Jackson, Covington, Powell, those guys give you up over almost $40 million there, and you don't even maybe need to worry as much about the picks in that scenario because you feel like you maybe have some viable bodies there. I don't think you're going to be looking at young players from other teams. I wanted to, the Lakers one is pretty one-to-one. It's the Russell Westbrook and some other things to make the numbers line up. Maybe you send Seth Curry with him as well, and then you end up getting as much capital back as you can from the Lakers.
To take the picks back, because I think the money gets a little weird with that one, right? Cause I don't think they can go Westbrook for him straight up. Let me just look real quick.
No, they can't. So you have to adding in Seth Curry, should pretty much get that one done.
Yeah, see that, and that's such a beat because it's like we're sending guys out to get rid of Kyrie. That's a really pretty tough pill to swallow, right? Like because we're definitely going to end up talking about, what we'll end up talking about next week for sure, because we're recording this Friday afternoon, and like this will go up as a bonus podcast. What we will probably end up talking about leading into the trade deadline is like how much of a seller they should be. Like, should this put Durant on the table? Probably not. But like,
I hate the, yeah. Oh man, this gets ugly really, really quickly as far as like guys that you like that you suddenly go, well, if we're not in champion contention, not even this year, but going forward, you look at a lot of guys differently. And you go back and you remember that first round pick for Royce O'Neal? Now you do go back and continue to regrade that decision there, because that can look different.
Yeah. I did one here that was like Lowry and Duncan Robinson for Kyrie, right? They get off the Lowry money. Like, he's kind of looking like complete dust. Robinson's out of the rotation. Like, you take a pick back, and like, right, you take, okay, like Miami's first round pick this coming year, because it's going to be bad, because they're going to be a good team and they're going to finish at the bottom of the Eastern Conference or the top of the Eastern Conference. So it's going to be like a very, very late first round pick, right? Something like that. I don't think Miami would do it, but like, that would actually vault them into championship contention, because Lowry's like clearly a weak link on that team right now. He's barely closing. Like, he's old. It probably looks like the tires are fully off. Like, I don't know. Is a first rounder from a late first rounder from Miami and this other fodder good enough? Probably not. Like, right. But like, I do think this is the world of kind of things you're thinking about, right? Because like, again, like, other teams are not going to want to unload the bag here for an unhappy Kyrie Irving who's going into a contract year. So this is like where it does start to get weird. But like, in terms of the team as a whole, yeah, like, this changes the whole trajectory of the team. Like, it does. Cause if the only story you could sort of start telling yourselves around this team was, if they keep Kyrie and KD, when those two are on the court with the right pieces around, I do think they were championship contenders. Were they favorites? No, but they were get pretty far in the playoffs. If the rest of the pieces
on paper, they were on paper, a deep playoff
on paper, just like, you know, not a first round exit. Right. Like, I think that, and once you're past that point, you're like, you know, you're a real team. So, I think that changing the trajectory around that thought process is interesting. And yeah, I do wonder like how much of an organizational reset this ends up being. It was probably going to be this way anyway, because again, if they were never able to, this was all working under this weird assumption that Kyrie was going to re-sign eventually. Right. And so we always kind of had to work with that, because it was going to be so hard to upgrade the talent without him. Just because of the way that they're sort of hamstrung by the salary cap and just the contracts that they have. So it was almost like we were kicking the can down the road a little bit in terms of the Nets, because this was still going to be an issue. Like, he was not under contract. Like, he was going into this offseason as unrestricted free agent.
Right.
Not re-signing him and losing him for nothing was always going to be a problem and was always sort of looming there. It is funny. Excuse me. I keep having to clear my throat here. It is funny about how the Nets, because the Nets are clearly understand the situation, right? Like, this isn't, they understand how contracts work and they understand the landscape of value around the NBA. I think that's clear. Like, for whatever you think about Marx's moves, he's done a lot of good moves and he's done some poor ones, but they understand at least this, they understand the higher level mechanics around what this means. I'm sure they were not actually blindsided by this request. Like, I think that they probably would have maybe not wanted it to happen. Like, I think there's a world where they want Kyrie back, but they clearly only want him back under certain conditions. So it's not like there's like beating his door down with these massive contract offers, because there is a world where they understand that the inherent downside risk of not offering the contract there. When you play out the if statements here, one of them is he could ask for a trade. So actually, in some ways, I doubt they were surprised.
Okay. And I know Doug's going to duck out of here. I'll recap this a little bit and stick around.
I got like 10 more. I have like 10 more minutes.
Oh, perfect.
I have someone to come to pick me up and they can wait.
That's right. So you just wait. So the first thing was, I saw someone making the comment saying, you know, throwing out random names from teams, Miami would just do Tyler Hero and picks for Kyrie Irving. Go do the
Absolutely
math on
not.
That. That's not how that works. You know, a $5.8 million contract that Tyler Hero is making, or whatever the number is on him, doesn't.
No, he makes a lot more money than that. I think his contract makes it works, but treating Tyler.
Yeah, not at least over, according to, you know, over on some of these trade machines, whatever his number is right now.
It's a non-guaranteed this year, but then he makes 27 next year. They signed him to a massive deal through 27. They're not trading Tyler Hero.
Right. That was the more big point there.
It was that he signed an extension that locked in the money for this year at a base level. And then it escalates in a huge, in 5X's next year. So they're not doing that.
Okay, so there's one other question I want to ask, and that's about if we look across the NBA landscape and think of any other relatively high-level player that's making big money that you say is disgruntled with his situation to a high enough level where you can think about that kind of one-to-one and bringing back somebody. But the other one I want to just throw out, because you mentioned the Phoenix Suns, you have Crowder, who they're talking about trying to find a landing spot for him. If you want to look at a Crowder, Bridges, and Johnson, and this again, I'll give you Seth Curry back to keep perimeter shooting and Kyrie. That works financially. Again, like this sweet spot of teams that don't think they're going to be able to get it done this year. So maybe you go for a little bit of a swing. And if not, you're going away from what we currently have. In that situation, ironically, I think Johnson is like, he came back from his injury and outperformed where, you know, you needed him to not look as good as he has coming back.
They're not trading these young guys. No team is trading a young guy for Kyrie. Like they're not like they're, no one's trading a young rotational piece for Kyrie Irving. Like there's just no chance. Like Mikal Bridges, Cam Johnson. There's no way. Like those guys. There's a reason I'm mentioning old big contracts as guys, because these other teams want to get off their other guys. Like that's why I said Chris Paul's not even a great one, because like they might still feel like they have championship like sort of equity. Kyle Lowry.
That's to make the point. That's the only way that you could do a deal with Phoenix is with the young guys, which they're not going to do, right? Like, so, and this is taking teams off the table that you think would be reasonable, right?
Correct. Like you just can't do if you think, here's the point. If you think the player is good and young, do not include them in the Kyrie Irving trade. Like when you're just save yourself the time on the trade machine. If you're over there doing trade, different trade scenarios for Kyrie Irving as a Nets fan. And believe me, we're all going to be doing this as a group, as a hive mind here over the next week. but just save yourself the time. If the player is a good rotational young piece for a team now, don't put them in the trade, because the other team's not. Like that team is not going to include an expiring Kyrie Irving contract. Like unless they were positive they could win the championship, and that in most of those scenarios you need the good young players. So like don't send OG Anunoby's not coming back. Mikal Bridges is not coming back. Tyler Hero's not coming back. These guys are not coming back. Like don't, sorry to freak out on everybody here, but like don't put these guys in trades. It's like they're not doing
this. Even on the best of days, Doug has a hard time with the trade machines. Not, and I don't mean it negatively, because it's very easy to go, numbers and numbers. It adds up. Let's do it. But specifically to Kyrie Irving, you can't just look at it and say, young talent, that's what we want. Going back to when it was the Kevin Durant scenario, yes, you could look at some young players because there was a very clear difference in those two things. This is a guy that has high-level question marks, that isn't under contract beyond this season, and that comes with a high salary, at least right now. So all of those things being equal makes it difficult. The other thing I just wanted to touch on then was, can you think of any guys that would just want to be out of their current situation around the NBA? No one's going to be at the level. It's funny. Somebody was talking about this over on Twitter, where Dame Lillard, they put out a list, NBA Central put out a list of the top guys in the league. And there was like 14 guys ahead of Dame. And they were like, damn, 14 other guys better than Dame Lillard. And I responded with 25 guys at a minimum better than Kyrie ? Because he wasn't even on the top 25 list. And as a pure talent, Kyrie Irving is very deserving of being in that conversation, but that goes to, where he's being discussed and what the perspective is on him.
So you're asking for like guys who make a lot of money who might not want to be stick around their current situations. That's what you're saying. I don't know. excuse me. Like DeMar DeRozan, probably not.
Who would want Kyrie and can win the championship.
Well, right. This is the whole thing. It's like, could you tell yourself a story that DeMar wants out with 2 years left and they have to include? I mean, are the Bulls going to want to do that? They're 24 and 27. Maybe they think they can resign. Kyrie, he's going to work out in Chicago. I don't know. Like, that's a name, right? Yeah. I think that, like, after these guys, though, there's a reason. Okay, here's the thing. There's a reason the Westbrooks of the world get bandied about with all this stuff with the money, because the number of players that are make a lot of money that are just sort of negative value assets is really pretty short, right? That's why I said the Lowry and Duncan Robinson thing was like, yeah. And plus like, and then the Heat throw in a pick, right? So like something like that, I think is like somewhat realistic. I know Nets fans will freak out if that happened, but
yeah,
because it's like, we're going to take the corpse of Kyle Lowry and a guy that can't get off the bench in Duncan Robinson when he isn't hurt. And like, then, and that's going to a Miami pick back. It's like, this is how you kind of have to start thinking about the Kyrie situation, unless you are willing to stare it down and say, hey, you're not going anywhere. Right. Like, and we'll play out the rest of the season. Now with Kyrie,
he'll stare back.
Oh yeah. Yeah, like he'll just sit out.
Stare him
like,
down. He'll stare back even harder.
It was like, and how do we know this? Because he's done it once already. Does he care about the money? No, he did it once already. He forewent millions for the vaccine thing. Okay, so you are staring. This is actually a little different than Durant, where Durant was like, man, it would like murder Kevin Durant to be healthy and not play basketball. Like, I actually don't think he could do it. I don't think he could. I don't think he has it in him to actually watch the rest of the NBA play knowing he was healthy and sit out. Like, you could stare Durant down along those lines, because you're like, hey man, I know you. Like, yeah, it would kill you. It would kill you to like not play basketball.
You've been too transparent with your feelings about basketball for us to.
Yeah, like it probably hurt him to some degree, because they knew he was going to end up, like, they knew he wouldn't be able to stare that one down probably.
Yeah.
With Kyrie, we already know that if he doesn't believe the situation is correct or in his favor, he will sit out. So, like, if he weren't to get traded here, I would be actually kind of shocked if he played. Like, I don't think he would. I don't think they'd be able to unless they went back and said, hey, we called it here. Here's a fully guaranteed contract for 3 years or whatever, max money. And we're going to, you know, we see the light of day or something like that. Like, short of that situation, he'll sit. Like, he won't play. And I just think that's where the Nets situation is going to be. And this is crazy, man. Oh, yeah.
The Chicago Bulls one, just to let you know, you can get DeMar DeRozan and Alex Caruso straight up. The money works.
They'll never send Caruso. Like, the Nets will have to include picks. This is what I mean. Like, this is any guy.
I didn't want to blow. I knew if I just threw
my head
that
almost
out there,
popped off.
It would make like the hat blows off the top of Doug's head. Because right. Yeah, but anyway, that being the case, God, this is almost painful. I may stick
around
for a couple.
I wish I hadn't made plans. I made plans to leave at 3:15 today. I'm pushing it all the way to the, and I got to change. I'm going out to dinner. Someone's picking me up because we're going like kind of far away. It's a whole thing. I'm explaining this to you as to why. Believe me. And the good news is the people that pick me up have never seen a sporting event in their life, so there's no risk that they're going to see this. I would happily sit here for like the next 2 hours and talk about this. I'd much rather do this than whatever, you know, Fugazi conversation we're gonna have over dinner later on tonight's gonna be. But I do have to jump off here pretty soon here.
Yeah, so we're gonna take a brief pause. I'll come back in. I'll just reiterate what we discussed here today. Stick around for a little bit more, and we'll get into the comments. There's like things coming so fast and furious. I want to highlight.
Yeah. By the way, it kills me here because like this is easily the most people we've ever had in one YouTube stream. We're pushing 1,000, pushing 1,000 people in at a time. Like, that's. I get that there's so many people around here and people have been flying through questions. I would love to be able to kick this can down the road a little bit because I think this is massive news. Like, this is going to be, if anyone thinks I'm paying attention at dinner tonight, they get another thing coming. It's going to be a life spent on Twitter. And you know what, when they showed the pearly gates, I know, St. Peter at the pearly gates wants to see what your Twitter game was like. So I'm not worried about this. And like, from a long-term perspective,
don't be surprised if the question goes, hey, did you read the latest book from, Maya Angelou? And Doug's response is, yeah, I don't know if there's the right package coming back from the Clippers here in this kind of scenario. Sorry, what were you talking about? And that's just going to be
Lowry in a second. Are you crazy?
So we're going to briefly pause here. I'll be right back in a second. Again, appreciate everybody being in here, and we'll be covering this soup to nuts. Hit the like. That's right, Mr. Cheeseburger. With names like that and comments of that caliber, you're going to get highlighted all day long on the live.
Yeah, I'll say this one last time, and people definitely did this, but not enough. If you're in the comments right now and you're watching this, go and hit like and subscribe on YouTube right now. We definitely saw a jump, but hoping for a bigger bump here, folks. Come on, let's go. Get on it. It's totally free. Help out the podcast. We're doing the Lord's work here. We'll be back again next week, actually, talking more. And I think Adam's going to jump back on. But yeah, Kyrie Irving, almost no longer a Net.
You got it. We'll be back. I'll be back later today talking all things Brooklyn Nets basketball and updating this situation in full.